Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning and welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ, broadcasting to the Eastern Townships of Quebec and beyond. I'm grateful for you spending time with me this morning, especially if you're a new listener. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. May God bless us as we seek Him today. It's Sunday, February the 23rd, 2023, which makes today the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is a season in the churches of seeking after God, counting down 40 days and nights to the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Day. And often our readings in this season are centred on turning from ourselves and our sin and evil to the holiness, purity, and love of God. And so words like those in Psalm 32 might come to mind. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. On Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
troubled, no light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Let us pray. We come, God of our security and peace, to confess to you with deep regret our willful defiance of the way of peace and joy that we know from experience is found only in you. Forgive us, we pray, when we deny any responsibility for our thoughts, actions, or decisions which separate us from you. Forgive us when we try to convince ourselves that there is no urgency in seeking a restored relationship with you, that there's plenty of time to repent of our foolishness, because you're always there to forgive us when we're willing to back down on our claims of always being right. God, who is our guide and adviser, forgive and bless us this day, we sincerely pray. The Apostle Paul declared our hope, asking the question, who is in a position to condemn? The answer, only Christ, and Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us, Christ prays for us. Trust this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and set free by God's generous grace. We praise you, our God, our Creator and Companion, for your love is as fresh as the new day, rising like the sun to guide us. And in Jesus Christ, you walk with us to challenge and encourage us, revealing our weakness yet offering us hope. We praise you for such gifts. Open to us this day the new possibilities you create for the world you love. And with the power of your Holy Spirit, energize us to embrace the future, trusting in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name, Amen. From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, we read the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Reading at verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, no one lives by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, and so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee.
Oh, my Lord,
just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Dear Lord, let it be.
Oh, my Lordy Lord.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Grant
it, Jesus, is my plea.
In my time as a minister, I've met my share of people who've had issues with mental health. I remember on one occasion visiting a mature lady on a locked psychiatric ward who was having a full-blown manic episode. Afterwards, I went to see the family, and a distraught grown-up daughter who had her own children thought she had lost her mother forever, never to emerge from that dark place. Dark place mentally. The ward was bright and full of light. I didn't presume to be an expert, but I knew enough about the lady and her condition, and had it confirmed by medical staff, that I was able to reassure the daughter that this was a passing phase, and thankfully within 3 weeks the lady was able to return home, her mental health restored. When mental health issues show themselves in religious delusions, then there's a risk of dissing the religion rather than the mental health issue. When people begin to talk about spirits or demons and devils, our sceptical, rational minds sometimes simply write off the presence of evil as some psychosocial projection for people who are perhaps habitually avoiding responsibility. Oh, the devil made me do it. But maybe you, if you are a rational, sceptical kind of person, find yourself believing more and more in the existence of the devil in these days. I'm not saying that there's a little red man with a forked tail and horns. In fact, the Bible never describes him in that way anyway. But how are you getting on with your experience of evil in the world? As you have grown older, wiser, more mature, do you believe more or less in evil than you did before? How do you make sense of a war in Ukraine, mass shootings in schools, institutional abuse, financial theft, prejudices, ignorance? Do you begin to find it easier to believe that, yes, there are powers of evil that exist that are not just the sum of our own human flaws and prides and selfishness? They're not just the results of bad toilet training, absent fathers, and childhood trauma. Not that those things aren't bad enough. The damage done in childhood can indeed continue to have a destructive and tragic consequences right the way through a lifetime. But do you find in the journey of life, the more that you see things in the world, and maybe the more that you see things in yourselves, in the church, or on the national or global stage, more things that just do not seem to be explicable in terms of simple consequences of past hurts, that there are some things that seem to defy comprehension, unless there are forces of cosmic evil that are bigger and stronger and far more systematically organized than our assorted human weaknesses could ever be? When we try to explain them in simple psychosocial terms, they actually leave us more powerless than before. That if we were able to give them a name, an identity, something to focus our opposition and resistance against. The old joke is that if you never feel attacked by the forces of evil, it's probably because you never cause him any trouble, so why should he or she bother? If you prefer to think that it's because you're of such high spiritual caliber, then you need to explain today's gospel reading for us. Because Jesus experienced the attacks of the devil, the forces of darkness, of the presence of evil, very clearly. Of the big three temptations that we know, money, sex, and power, it's predominantly power that the devil tries to get at Jesus with. Well, it's no surprise really, because it's undoubtedly the most subtle and the most potent of the three. And note that the Satan, the accuser, the devil, does not concede defeat at the end. He just departs from Jesus until another opportune time. Whether it's helpful to you to think of evil forces as being personified in an individual, the Satan, the accuser, the devil, or just as dark, nebulous forces, what the gospel story makes clear is that the cosmic resistance to Jesus was organized, subtle, and genuinely threatening, capable even of appearing as an angel of light, quoting scripture. When we face the challenge of evil in our lives and in our world, we don't have to face evil alone the way that Jesus did. For God calls his people into a community of redeemed people, together, so that we can pull both our wisdom and our strength, our prayers and our piety. As a community, we can be much more capable of discerning and overcoming the threats to our well-being that are posed by cosmic powers of darkness. And finally, we know that we are on the winning side. We know that in Jesus Christ, the powers of evil are defeated, and all that is left is a rearguard guerrilla action yet to be fully mopped up. When Jesus died on the cross, he made a public spectacle. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." We're in the season of Lent. We're counting down through a period of testing and of trial and of temptations. And at the end of Lent, we get to the cross and the resurrection. And the end of our tempting and our trials and our testing is the death and resurrection of Jesus. In the knowledge of Easter, even when the opposition is at its fiercest, we can know that if we just hang on and hold our ground, that will be enough. Because the powers of evil are running out of resources. This season of Lent teaches us a lot about hanging on, about gritting our teeth, about standing firm and resisting the forces of evil. But paradoxically, one of the resources we have to sustain us in this time is the spirit of celebration, celebrating the victory that we know is won, but which we so far experience only in part.
About his Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought me to the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me.
Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for you've given us the free gift of righteousness and life. You created the world, abundant and fertile, and entrusted it to us. And with every word that comes from your mouth, you feed us with the fruit of life and show us how to avoid the fruit of death. But when sin entered the world through one man's deceit, we were all left poisoned by shame, our strength withering as in a summer drought. But now, through one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness has come. He was tested in the wilderness, but refused to compromise with evil, even when it came disguised as compassion, knowledge, and reason. And though he was killed, you raised him to life. And in him we've received the abundance of grace, that we might stand before you, cleansed of all evil and deceit. Lord Jesus Christ, you refused to turn stones into bread. Save us from using our power, however little, to satisfy the demands of selfishness in the face of the greater needs of others. Lord Jesus Christ, you refuse to leap from the temple top. Save us from displaying our skills, however modest, to win instant popularity in the face of nobler calls on our abilities. Lord Jesus Christ, you refuse to bend the knee to a false god. Save us from offering our devotion, however weak, to cheap or easy religion in the face of the harder path on which you bid us to follow you. Saviour of the world, you saw Satan masquerading as an angel of light and shunned him. Give us wisdom to discern behind each subtle temptation the ploy of the prince of darkness, and in the face of all that is hellishly attractive, help us choose the will of our holy God. And we gather our prayers into one voice, praying as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. While the end of February often sees the beginning of Lent, give or take a week or two, the first Friday in March is always the World Day of Prayer organised by women. There is a bilingual service on Friday the 3rd of March at 5:30 p.m. at St George's Anglican Church, Queen Street, Lennoxville, in which local churches are participating in a service organised by the Women of Taiwan. And you would be most welcome to make your way there on Friday at 5:30 at St George's Anglican Church. Of course, you'd be welcome to join us at St Andrew's Sherbrooke at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and you can do that either in person or online at YouTube or Facebook. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
In the cross,
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.